I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to the first episode of After the Credits for 2015. I am your... Are we doing the party? Woohoo!
Whoop whoop!
I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes of Quieter.us and Row3.com, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen of Colleen's Playhouse. There you go. It's like Pee-wee's. Herman's Playhouse. Never mind. It just completely failed.
Did you watch? That's on Netflix now.
Yeah, I know it is, which is why I referenced it.
Oh, got it.
Dale from another secret project almost ready to, because I just can't give up on trying to podcast.
You're secretive.
Very,
secrets.
And newly of Co-op Radio.
Very nice. So are your Co-op Radio shows now online that, you know, folks can actually listen to them? Can they stream them?
The first show that I will have had anything to do with will be, hasn't been scheduled yet.
Okay.
I'm just helping out behind the scenes. But yeah, they are online. It's called Each for All with Vancouver Co-op Radio.
We'll have to link to it so if folks want to listen to Dale's side project.
There's not much not much Dale in it yet, but there will be. Yeah, we should wait another month and then.
Oh, okay, and then plug it.
Yeah. Well, no, we can plug it.
There'll be another secret. We can secret plug it. Project.
Exactly.
We can plug it now, but
double secret probation.
All I'm doing right now is kind of filling out log sheets and doing.
Oh, that sounds
paperwork.
Fun. That sounds exciting.
Fight the power, Mr. Bureaucrat.
It sounds better than installing lights when you're not an electrician, which is what I did today. My first day off. And instead of watching movies, I installed lights.
Oh.
I blew up stuff.
That
renovations.
Sounds way more fun.
I think they've done...
Way more fun.
It has its moments.
I might reference The Money Pit.
Yeah. That would be a good one to reference. I should really watch that with my parents.
It's really depressing. Actually, it's about a failed love affair too. So yeah. Maybe that won't work so well. But
yeah, no, I like that. I like
the other part of it. I'm sure that you'll.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Hanks film.
No, not mine either.
It's not The Burbs for any long shot.
Well, nothing is The Burbs for any long shot. Come on now.
But I did notice when that movie came out because I was around for its theatrical release because I'm old. I actually rented it on video when that's where I
on
saw
VHS?
It. On VHS, yes.
Not Laserdisc, VHS.
Do you remember what your first VHS tape was?
I remember coming, no.
Used People.
Coming into work and saying, yeah, I finally watched Money Pit. I didn't really like, and like everybody that had a house was like, oh man, I so understood that movie. And all of us people that didn't were like,
Yeah. The lost meaning. Ugh. But we are starting 2015 off in good style. We have a January preview on time.
Yeah.
Which is good. Which is very nice.
After a home run year, can we say?
Well, it has been a good year for us. We managed to dish out at least 12 episodes, probably more. I think there was a couple of extras.
And a couple extras, yeah.
So generally speaking, it was a very good year. Yes. Pat on the back for all of us. It was very, very good.
The golf
clap. Like I was watching the plays of the year on TSN the other day, and one of them was a golf thing. The guy got a hole in one and some like crazy hit, and the thing he does is like he throws up his golf club and he runs across the lawn and to everybody that's sort of standing to the side, and they've all got their hands out, and I'm like, okay, that is the most excitement that anybody's seen in golf all year.
Yeah.
When Sergio Garcia first hit the PGA,
don't know who he is, but okay,
he's a Spanish kid kind of thing.
Is he 12?
No, I think it was either 18 or 19 or something like that.
Okay, that's impressive.
Very much one of the youngest people out there. And he had a point where there's like a ball in between two roots. And it's like one of those areas where you're just going to shatter your wrist. Take the toss and like No, it's probably the longest lead into a shot I've ever seen, because he'd like brace himself and then walk away and then come back, and like the other guys he's golfing with going, "Don't do this, man. You can end your PGA career before it begins." Ends up taking it and ends up going basically where he wanted it, and he literally was doing cartwheels down the actual course. I'm like, going, "I love this kid."
Yes, the most excitement ever in golf.
And that's quite the
I know.
The
segue into the show.
Segue off the topic.
There are no golf movies this month that I am aware of.
No, not that I know of either.
Although, now that you say that, I want to watch Happy Gilmore again.
Oh, God. You were on your own there. You were on your own there.
Yes.
But we were commenting just before we started recording that January seems to be a mishmash of leftover art house fare and the dumping grounds.
Mainstream dumping grounds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a little bit of a mix of both. And we'll start off January 2nd with the go-to horror movie for January, The Woman in Black 2. I know it has a subtitle. Don't know what it is. Don't really care. No One Returns. Susan Hill apparently wrote this story. I don't know if she wrote specifically for the film or if it's based on one of her other short stories or what exactly the deal is, but she is somehow involved, which I guess could be good. But yeah, I don't really know.
Not my kind of movie.
Not my kind of film. I know exactly what kind of film it is. Although, as trailers go, it kind of is an okay trailer. Like
it is a good one.
It doesn't play up the jump scares like a lot of them do. Like the Paranormal Activity is all about the jump scares and that. This is much more like creepy in it, but you know it's just still going to be all about the jump scares.
I really liked the first one. I thought it was really well done.
Oh,
like, yeah, Hammer is really like doing some good work. And I liked The Woman in Black. I thought it was effective. And yeah, it did do a couple of jump scares, but it was generally just a really creepy movie.
Oh, okay.
So this one takes place 40 years after the first film, doesn't include any of the same people, just the same house. They evacuate a group, I guess, orphans from an orphanage into the house to sort of keep them away from the war. And of course, the house is haunted. So The Woman in Black is back, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, creepy things unfold. It looks like it'd be okay. I'm curious about it, but it's not something I'll go out and see in theaters.
I doubt I'll see it.
Yeah, just, but I did like the first one.
Paranormal is just not in my wheelhouse.
Not your thing.
Yeah.
But Pitch Perfect is.
Oh, God. Don't even get started.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
It screams
I had to work it in there
somehow. I should hate Pitch Perfect. Everything about film I hate.
You should have like also hated. But you should have also hated After the Ball, and you kind of enjoyed that.
That was
so
actually pretty good.
Don't hate the genre. Hate the filmmaker.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Because
right?
Every now and then someone proves that.
But, yeah.
Because I hate, like, was it a Dance or like Bring It kind of thing? I hate
Bring
those films.
On.
I hate those films. I hate Glee.
Honey.
So combine the two together, I
honey
should
is
uber
not so
hate, and yet ends up being something I laughed a lot through. So
there you go.
All right. My confession.
Also, expanding why January 2nd, because I believe it opens on New Year's Eve on the 31st. J.C. Chandor's A Most Violent Year with Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. As a married couple who are running an oil business, not oil as in oil for your car, oil as in heating oil for your house, and about the shady year that they have. And I saw this at Whistler. It's probably one of my favorites of the year. Solid, solid filmmaking.
Yeah, everyone who saw it at Whistler came out basically at least saying it was awesome, if not like brilliant.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in this film until you guys started talking about it.
Well, Chandor, I've sort of come to he's made like three movies. I've only seen two. Both of them are like the kind of things that you read on paper and you're like, why would I be interested in that? And then you watch it and like, okay, I'm really interested in that. That was really good. So I'm really, really looking forward to this. So it's really good. Highly recommended. Chastain is awesome. She is it's like a mobster movie without like guns.
Cool.
Like seriously, it's like a Scorsese mobster movie without guns.
That's impossible.
It is totally possible. Chandor did it. It's awesome. I really love it.
Impossible.
Impossible.
I like
it's
that
totally
word.
Possible.
It's
possible.
Impossible.
It happened. Damn it. See it. It's really good. Also opening on the 2nd, Russia's Oscar entry, Leviathan. Colleen, I think that you should lead on this one because I kind of liked your explanation.
Well, with a film named Leviathan, I would have thought that there was at least a leviathan in the picture, some giant sea serpent
in the biblical sense of
leviathan. Like, yes. Terrible.
Well, there were
thing.
Bones of this big thing in the sea.
No. It's, you know,
it's not Fossil Hunter Leviathan.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Too much talky, not enough monstery.
Yeah, it's very talky. Russia's Oscar entry into
it looks very dramatic.
It's overly dramatic.
You
I
know
would
how
say.
Much I love the creature feature.
Yes.
When you film and have a film called Leviathan, I'm expecting the big sea serpent of doom.
Yeah, not Nothing. What you get here. So the story here is this guy owns this house on the beach. The mayor has basically said that he needs to sell the house because they need the land to build a church. And he says, well, no, you can't take my land. So he hires a lawyer. Shit happens. It's family drama. It's political drama. The really surprising thing about this is I found it a little overly long and way too talky and not all that interesting in parts, but it's really like it's surprising that Russia let this out at all, because it's not like friendly to Russia. Like, it's very on point about corruption of both church and state. I mean, it's pretty biting.
Maybe so, there was two cuts of the film.
I mean, it like when you see it, it's like there's a lot of biting, racy stuff that you would kind of think the government might sort of say, yeah, maybe not so much. But yeah, it does not shed a good positive light on the Russian system.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's solid. It's just not for everybody. It is very talky, as you might expect from the trailer. Nothing else?
No. Nothing. Just disappointment over the lack of monster.
Okay. Well, there were monsters in Rec 4 Apocalypse.
Okay. Watching the trailer, and
Colleen got very excited there.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Rec series, mostly because
they're awesome.
Well, they make me sick, and like so many of those ones that are so shaky cam and running around and all that. But the thing that caught my attention that makes me pretty much absolutely need to see this film is I like creative use of weaponry, and using an actual outboard boat engine as a makeshift hedge clipper to kill people.
It's pretty awesome.
I can get on board with that.
So, Juame Balaguero returns. He co-wrote and co-directed the first two Rec films. The third one was like totally out of nowhere, like left field, different people involved. There wasn't even the same actress. It was took place at a wedding. It was just very sort of oddball. It was really cool, but really oddball.
Three weddings and an apocalypse?
No, just one wedding and an apocalypse.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it was super cool, don't get me wrong, but it was just, it was completely not the Rec films.
Rec 4 sounds like it's going to be the last. They say it right in there.
Well, so they bring back Manuela Velasco, who plays the reporter in the first two films that gets infected, and she's sort of the central character of the story. So apparently this picks up after the second one. They take her to this oil rig thing where they're doing testing, whatever, and shit goes wrong. It looks cool. I'm game. Welcome
yes,
back.
Yes, not in my wheelhouse.
What? It's zombies on an oil rig. It's like the greatest thing ever.
Zombie candles on an oil rig might be fun, but
I've always loved the zombies, but even I am done out on zombies. So unless you come up with a really spectacular new take on it,
I'm like kind this of franchise. Done. I like this franchise more than the others. So.
Resident Evil?
Yeah, even more than Resident Evil. Mm. Resident Evil has run its course for me. It ran its course like three movies ago. Well,
yeah, that was Resident. What I was thinking.
Like, when you got the zombie crows, then like that was the peak, and it's been downhill since then.
Once you have, I think that was movie three, right? Extinction.
Yeah,
it should be the end.
Never. As long as you can keep Mila in tight leather and making movies, they'll keep churning them out.
I see.
Because the Canadian government will keep co-sponsoring them, co-financing them. It'll be another Canadian co-production.
Cool.
Also opening on the 2nd, The Search for General Tso?
So, I think was
okay.
The most common.
Yeah. So,
this looks awesome.
Yeah, a documentary about the search for this food and sort of, I guess, in the process.
The origin.
The origin of where sort of American Chinese food comes from.
So, the interesting thing is, I think in Canada, General Tso's chicken isn't as common. Like,
I've never even heard of it.
I only heard of it recently, actually, and it wasn't from a Chinese food menu. It was when I was searching Superstar? Internet. Well, no, I was like internet recipes, and this thing kept coming up. But the documentaries on the search for the origin of it, because it's not a traditional Chinese dish. So it's sort of like, what is that? Egg Foo Young, I think, was another North American fusion creation kind of thing. And the trailer, you just got to watch the trailer. It's hilarious. Like those Chinese guys in Chinese going like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, this isn't even Chinese food. This doesn't even look like chicken.
Yeah, this looks like frog.
Yeah, this doesn't look like chicken. It looks like frog.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that one looks like it could be good fun.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of foodie stuff.
Documentary, if you haven't
figured
it out. But even I was certain I'd watch that.
Moving on to January the 9th. It is the 9th, right?
Yeah.
Yep, January 9th. I only have one movie, though. I noticed there's a few more. Taken 3. Olivier Megaton. That has got to be the best name of all time. I think we talked about this when we talked about Taken 2, which he also directed. Liam Neeson returns. They have taken more of his shit. He is like, not happy.
It's like another woman in a fridge trope.
I don't know.
I think he should just get rid of all of his stuff, because his stuff, including family and friends kind of thing, just seem to get him in trouble.
Yeah. Actually, that the Facebook ad that they put out just before Christmas was like the greatest thing ever, because it was like a 90 seconds long of the Liam Neeson having his shit taken. So he'd been drinking a cup of coffee, he'd put it down, he'd go back to it, and it would be gone. So it's like, stop taking my shit. Yeah. Greatest thing, greatest meme ever.
Nice.
For a movie that I have no idea what this one is even about.
I have no desire to see this whatsoever.
Do they take something, or is it just like...
According to the trailer, like they've killed his, probably killed his wife, or killed his wife.
Well,
and I'm like, my eyes were glazing, and they're after his daughter, and like, yes, I'm going to fight.
Well,
back.
The first one, they kidnap his daughter.
No, the first one was his wife.
Wife?
I thought it was daughter.
Okay, so the second one is his wife.
It's like, brace yourself, they're going to take you.
Okay, so the first one is his daughter, the second one is his wife?
Maybe. I stopped paying attention after the first one.
Same here. Yeah, no, the first one was so, the storyline was, okay, like, I'm
telegraphed?
It was almost offensive. Like, I almost found it offensive, and that's saying something. I am a older generation guy that
middle has class white dude.
Has his white privilege, and I found the storyline kind of offensive towards the way it was treating the women in the film. So I just didn't even bother with two. Having said that, this trailer is moderately interesting, because he's fighting the man, and Forrest Whitaker's in it.
Fighting the man.
But it's, yeah, I'm so tired of the woman in a fridge thing. It's just so done. Like, get some original shit, please.
I could go with that.
You're paying millions. You can find a writer with an original frickin' idea.
The fridges jumped the shark when Indy survived a nuclear blast with it.
Yeah, it's so.
Everything from this point on, the fridge is now invalid.
That's a different fridge trope, yeah.
How many fridge tropes are there?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure there's quite a few.
Apparently. So, also opening on the 9th, Beloved Sisters. I actually think this is expanding on the 9th, because I think we talked about it last time. I vaguely remember talking about it. I don't know. German
subtitle.
Period drama about two sisters who fall in love with the same man who happens to be a poet. He marries one of them, continues to have an affair with the other. It's very pretty. It's a little bit dramatic, but not much. The costumes are awesome. The music is great. It's like a 6-hour TV miniseries that they've cut into a 3-hour movie for, you know, movies purposes.
Awesome. I'm already sleepy.
Yeah, it's okay at best. What else we got there?
It's moving on. So quiet.
No idea what that is.
Yeah, it looks limited.
Is it
release.
A Bjork song?
Middle-aged farmer living with his old and bedridden father tries to find truth in life. Aww. It's another subtitled.
Oh, okay. Don't know anything about it.
What kind of farm does he have? That could make it for me.
Is it a llama farm?
Turnip farm? Potato farm.
Oh, I don't know.
Turnip farm.
He's not going to look. Stop asking.
Okay. No, there's hardly any description here at all.
I might be interested if it was a turnip farm.
I looked at the trailer, and the trailer was just like so... The lighting was dark. The music was super somber. The people were all moody.
So depressing.
Is it like a Bellatar film?
And I'm like...
Because I'm out right now. Yeah.
We're out right now.
Yeah, I had no interest in this story at all.
All right.
Moving on. Moving on to the 16th. Michael Mann. The man, Michael Mann, returns with Black Hat, which looks like the most paint-by-numbers cyber thriller ever.
Yeah.
Starring Thor.
This is so good. Like you said, like there's just nothing original in this plot.
But it stars
so
Thor.
The writing better be good enough that like it can be totally action-driven.
But Colleen's got something to say.
Okay. Anyone who is that good of a hacker has lived their entire life sitting down in front of a laptop and is not going to suddenly be an action hero. They're going to be incapable of existing outside of their little sphere of influence.
I actually had that problem too. It's like, oh my God, it's super spy from a guy who's like hacker. Like
you're spending 12 hours a day in front of a computer.
But now we're like painting by numbers. We're assuming all hackers are like stay at home people that never like.
Wait, they aren't.
Well, you know, he could work out. He could go to the gym. Well, he's fucking Thor in his other
now
life.
Making miracle shots with his gun. And
I would be.
All those shooters he plays.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so if you want to do fan service, like there's going to be a adolescent, teenage boy, young 20-something that are just going to totally geek out on like seeing their fantasy on the screen. But
the girls are going to want him to take his shirt off. They're going to be they better be a shirt.
I have no problem with them. Unlike Colleen, I have no problem with them being in shape. But to be like
an action superstar,
good, powerful fighter and a good shooter and a good hacker, it's like, no. We're talking James Bond with years of training before I buy it.
Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Woke up. Already being Jason Bourne. Like, he sort of, like, knocked unconscious, who the hell am I? But you're still the base, secret agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scenario, as, like, silly as it sounds when you say it out loud, that I bought.
You guys are totally overthinking this. All I saw was Michael Mann, so the action is going to be awesome, and it stars Thor. Sold.
Well, a couple other good actors in there. Oh,
Viola Davis is
in there
too.
She's
really great.
I'm going to give this a chance because
I mean, I don't think it looks great.
I'm a young adolescent boy at heart. Well, not so much anymore, but sort of.
It's awful.
The problem with me, if they played it a bit more like goofy, like for laughs kind of thing, I'd probably be more on board. But you know,
it's so serious.
Well, as soon as you start entering into the sabotage kind of thing, secret agent espionage kind of thing. That's something I love. I've always loved that crap. And then suddenly, like, the hacker is now the super spy. Like, what the hell?
Oops.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's
conflicting interest.
The fun part is, you know, if the trailer totally misled us on exact.
Well, we'll have to wait and
see. I am interested in it because, like you say.
What next, Johnny English?
Good director, good actors.
Michael Mann. It's all about Michael Mann. Also opening on the 16th, The Wedding Ringer.
God, I don't know what to think of this one.
Josh Gad hires Kevin Hart because he's so sad and pathetic. Doesn't have a best man. He hires Kevin Hart to play his best man at the wedding. That's really all you need. And then shenanigans happen.
Yeah, shenanigans happen.
I think it could be kind of funny.
Weird scenario.
I like Kevin Hart. I think he's really funny.
I can see not having many good friends kind of thing, especially if you're like profession oriented and all that, but you know, hiring someone, really?
You know, the funny thing is I have read serious articles on people doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I just wouldn't have one.
I mean, not for your best man, but definitely for social occasions, bringing in ringers to enhance your profile. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like prostitution, but for reps.
I guess.
Hey,
I don't get
whatever works for you, man.
Yeah,
whatever works for you.
No, okay.
So are you guys at all curious about this?
No,
yeah, it doesn't seem like your thing, Colleen.
I'm curious. Like, I honestly don't know. This is definitely one I would wait and hear what the buzz was.
Yeah, I'm really not a fan of Kevin of
this
Josh
is like
Gad, but
Wedding
I really
Crashers
like
slash Hutch.
Oh, I hope not. Both of those were fucking terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh. Oh no!
Wedding Crashers had its moment. I would not recommend it.
Yeah, no thanks. But I do like Kevin Hart. He's sort of the selling point at the moment.
Okay.
Also opening on the 16th, Paddington.
None of us have read these books, I think we.
Oh, I read them as a kid.
Yeah, I remember them when I was little, yeah. Sure.
Okay, because this movie just did not... I haven't read the books, but I don't remember the movie being my recollection of the books.
I think it might depend on your family too, kind of thing. Like, there was still enough English throwbacks in my family that, like, it was something that...
Well, no, but I don't remember Paddington being such a slapstick shit disturber as all.
Oh.
Well, I think the movie. Yeah, I think the movie's taking a little bit of leeway with the story.
Yeah,
and with the character itself. It was interesting. I was talking to somebody who works at Framestore, who did the special effects, the animation for The Bear.
Oh, wow.
Because they pushed this. It was supposed to open on Christmas Day, and they pushed it because they wanted the UK buzz. Because apparently, name recognition doesn't exist in North America.
Oh.
A little bit better in Canada, but almost non-existent in the US. So they were hoping to sell it on the UK numbers. Don't think it did particularly well. And it's just one of these, it's a character that you're either going to recognize or you're not.
I remember Christopher Robin and Pooh and Eeyore and all and Tigger, but it was
Paddington
never a part
was
of
never,
really.
But, yeah.
You know, watching this trailer, I just did, you know, usually small furry creatures.
Sorry, no, that's Winnie the Pooh. I'm even mixing up my own
you can't,
bears.
You can't help but, you know, have some affinity for small, cute little fuzzy thing. Like, I had warmer feelings for Ted than I did for Paddington Bear.
Yeah. No, I don't think the trailer is particularly strong. I don't think the movie is.
Honestly, I think Ted might have been better behaved than Paddington Bear.
So,
just got a worse vocabulary.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Ben Whishaw voices the lovable bear, and the movie stars, like, forget everybody.
Bonneville,
Sally Hawkins, Julie Walters, Jim Broadbent.
All, like, the UK bigs.
It just keeps going on and on and on, yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember Paddington Bear and Winnie the Pooh, and what was it the little girl with the yellow slicker kind of thing that was the French kid. Madame Lise or something?
Oh,
I forget.
Yeah.
There was a half dozen things that I remember,
like
being
Adeline or
subjected
something.
To.
Yeah, Adeline.
Subjected to, but not really ever getting into. Much like Tintin, where I totally got into.
Yeah. Well, Tintin sounds like more like your cup of tea.
Yeah.
I was an Asterix girl myself.
Asterix was awesome too.
Yeah. And actually, The Little Prince, which apparently I'm the only person that remembers it.
I remember that.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, because my sister's like, I don't remember that. I'm like, you should. We played Little Prince.
Then again, we also grew up with Song of the South.
Which I watched for the first time like 2 years ago. And it holds up, man. I know it's like, you know, it
the
has
book,
its moments.
The book is worse.
But
the book is worse.
It is what it is. I mean, it's from its time, but yeah. It's not bad.
Does anyone remember Pippi Longstocking?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, there's a little Pippi. Racial thing that blew up with that recently.
Really?
They re-released it. Apparently, in somewhere, the reference to black people is offensive.
Oh.
And they decided to leave it in there because
of its time,
there's a cultural... Of its time.
I think that's fair.
And it kind of caused...
Much like people trying to ban Huckleberry Finn because of the use of the N-word kind of thing. But... When was that written?
Well, this is the thing, right? I mean, just because it needs the cultural context. You can't just take it out of context and say, you have to change this because it doesn't.
I think
it's
to
not
a certain extent,
anymore.
It might be more powerful now because it is.
Well, yeah.
That's just not a word that's acceptable, and you read it and go, well, what the hell?
I think there is a bit of a difference between something like a Huckleberry Finn and a Pippi Longstocking TV show. Kind of thing, but I guess even that's arguable.
Yeah,
but,
I think.
But still,
I think I'm
more for leaving it in with an explanation than
I'm certainly more on that than changing it just for the sake of it's offending somebody. I mean, I can understand that it's offensive, but I mean, it's of its time. I think it has the
there's
cultural...
a lot of things that offend me, and they're not going to disappear anytime soon. Christianity, sorry,
I'm offended now.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Also opening on the 16th. Moving right along before we offend somebody else. Escobar, okay. Paradise Lost.
I have a checklist. I've got one off, so let's see how far I can go.
Who's next?
The Poles.
Oh, okay. We'll get that.
All right.
Escobar, Paradise Lost. Really the greatest casting ever. Benicio del Toro as Pablo Escobar.
Oh, shit, yeah.
They should just, hire him for every bad guy out of South America, apparently.
He just looks the part. Like, he does kind of look the part. Don't mess with this dude. He's slightly unhinged.
So Josh Hutcherson stars as a young surfer who's in Cuba on vacation. He falls in love with a girl, and her uncle happens to be Pablo Escobar. And shit happens. I don't know. I don't think it's probably very good, but whatever. I'll see it at some point.
I want to see it. I thought it looked great.
I was more interested than I thought. I'm definitely not going to see it in the theater, but...
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, let's be honest. Just because we're seeing it doesn't mean we're seeing it theatrically.
Exactly.
I'm curious, certainly, because, it's Del Toro and he's kind of awesome. But beyond that, I don't know. Also opening on the 16th, Spare Parts.
This is awesome. This is based on a true story.
I am, I didn't look it up, but I am not surprised.
I have a Wired article reference for you to put in the show notes. Yeah, it was.
Send it to me.
The article was called La Vida Robot.
Oh, that's very funny.
Nice.
So it's about a group of Hispanic high school students who
are all legal aliens, at least in the real story.
Oh, okay. And who they use like spare parts from like cars and stuff to build a robot and compete against the MIT.
Yeah.
You have no budget and you have an engineering problem. You find workarounds if you want to do it. Yeah. So.
It looks pretty great.
It looks really good. Actually, I've always been a bit of a George Lopez fan, so to see him in a serious role is like just fun.
I like him a lot.
And the scene they showed in the trailer is actually quite charming, where it's like, slap me, to Marissa Tomei.
I need context or something. It's like, women make horrible teachers or something like that?
Yeah.
Slap. Thank you.
It looks charming, and I like these stories.
Yeah, I like these kinds of stories,
too. These feel-good stories are good for January.
You've had 10 jobs in the last year.
Also opening on the 16th, Still Alice. Julianne Moore playing a woman suffering, linguistics professor suffering from early onset Alzheimer's.
This
and
played
all she
at,
and her family
This played at WIF.
It played at WIF, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
And did you see it?
I did. It's quite good. It's very depressing because... all movies about people losing their memory are freaking depressing.
Which, is kind of weird because while watching the trailer, I'm watching it, I'm getting what it's about, and all I can think of is the fact that Mr. Baldwin and Julianne Moore were actually basically lovers on 30 Rock. And it was hilarious.
All I can think when I see Julianne Moore playing serious is her screaming, vagina! I don't know why. That's the first thing that comes into my mind is Julianne Moore screaming, vagina.
She in 30 Rock, she has the craziest Boston accent ever. And it basically brings Mr. Baldwin's accent right out. Kind of thing. It's awesome. I loved it.
It's really good. It is very sad, but also kind of like... reassuring, it's one of those silver lining kind of things, but it's good. It's a great performance from Julianne Moore.
Cool. So
definitely worth
it. She seldom disappoints.
Yeah, she's usually quite good. This one is a little more controlled than usual because she's not yelling vagina at the top of her lungs running down an airport, which is always great. Moving on to January 23rd. Okay, so before we start talking about J-Lo or Jennifer Lopez, I don't know. J-Lo, right?
J-Lo, yeah.
So Lifetime had the Jennifer Lopez marathon yesterday. They showed like every Jennifer Lopez movie.
Oh, wow.
Boy.
Yeah. It was
Made in Manhattan or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
so
good God.
It was like Made in Manhattan.
That one from...
Wait, there was another one, The Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And there was one more. I can't remember what the other one was. But
the one
yeah.
she did with Clooney I liked. Turning Point? No.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that's directed by Soderbergh. And that one is really good. This one, I'm not so sure. So we're talking about The Boy Next Door.
You know, I had no interest in the movie, but I'm looking at trailers and going,
it doesn't look so bad.
Miss Lopez, for in your 40s, you're looking mighty fine.
Yeah, she's pretty great. I do like Jennifer Lopez. So
I do. I wish she had better movie projects.
Yeah, me too. She stars here as a divorced woman who falls in love with the much younger guy that lives next door. I am sure it will be. And then, you know, he's got some deep, dark secret. He's probably some murderer or something. I have no idea. But he becomes obsessed and, you know, shit happens.
Oh, man, we forgot about Monster in Law.
Oh, yeah, that was on, too.
Jane Fonda was equally as embarrassed as Jennifer Lopez.
Wow, that movie is so much worse.
Out of Sight.
Out of Sight, yeah. I think that's the Soderbergh one. I'm pretty sure it's directed by Soderbergh. It is really, really good.
You're right, yeah.
Best love scene edit ever. The other day, I was actually thinking I really need to rewatch Atonement.
Oh, for the kissing scene in the...
The library sex scene is pretty fucking
hot. We'd have to do a doubleheader, though, because then we'd have to watch Eastern Promises, which had the other best kiss of the year that year between yes. Vigo and Diana Watts. No, not Diana Watts. Diana... Ah! Never mind.
Wait,
what's
no,
her face?
I know.
I always blank on her name.
Fuck me. Naomi Watts?
Naomi Watts. Yeah. Not Diana Watts, who is the former mayor of... Sir.
Oh yeah.
I wonder where Colleen Ted is at. Politics.
No, not at all.
Also opening on the 23rd. Oh, so are we kind of curious about this?
No,
Dale said.
Fatal Attraction kind of vibe.
Yeah, I'm totally out.
Descent into
I totally love those movies.
Relationship hell. Oh, you do?
I do.
Well, this
they're
is
kind
your
of
movie, eh?
They're kind of my thing. Like I have a lot of things that I like.
So she has an affair with a boy who's like
much younger
in high school or something,
and he's got like issues, he becomes obsessed.
Yeah. Fatal Attraction,
yeah,
obsessed.
I liked these movies. Like the 80s had a lot of them, that like the Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Sliver, Single White Female, like all of these like crazy obsessive movies. I kind of have a soft spot for those. They're like good Saturday night entertainment for me. I could watch like an entire like block of them and I'd be very happy.
Hard pass.
You're missing out, man. You're missing out.
You know what? I'll just watch Godzilla again.
Go for it.
I think I will.
Also opening on the 23rd, Mordecai.
No, this looks great.
Oh, fuck me, no.
This looks great.
Okay, go for it. Because I don't fucking care about this
movie. I will give it this. It looks much better than Johnny English.
Yes.
Okay, I can give it that.
So it's, British secret agent based on British series of comic thriller novels. That's about all I know about it. Johnny Depp plays a very, you know, I think of the Monty Python skit of the upper middle class twits, who's secret agent. It's kind of got a Pink Panther,
yes,
Johnny English kind of vibe going to it. It's completely slapstick, but it. Kind of slapstick I enjoy, and it's like secret agent stuff, so
just kill me already. This is so painful for me. I don't even know where to start, and the worst part is I really like this cast beyond Johnny Depp. Like I could care less about Johnny Depp, but come on, man, really? Ewan McGregor, Gwyneth Paltrow, Paul Bettany,
yeah,
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Maybe it'll be a pleasant surprise.
I won't see it theatrically, though Dan wants to go really badly.
Really? Well, yes. Dan and I,
you guys can go on a mandate.
Anytime I hear Jeff Goldblum, I instantaneously, though, picture him in, like, in chaps, like the sheepskin chaps,
and a
red double-breasted shirt.
Yeah.
And he can never live up to that ever again.
You know, no matter what he's in, no matter what he's doing, I literally change the picture I'm seeing to see him in chaps and that red shirt.
I have that on videotape. I really need to get Blu-ray.
Awesome.
There's
nothing about
Buckaroo Rye
that
isn't awesome.
I do.
Oh, my God.
Actually, you know, at the first part of that film, like right up until the story actually starts, is one of my favorite probably parts of a film. Like just he's doing everything. Now I'm performing surgery and then suddenly I'm walking on stage and being a rock god, and then I'm test firing a experimental car. I'm like, I love this man. Oh yes. Rick Springfield.
Yeah,
not a fan.
I you know, it was wonderful the first time I must admit it's kind of slow when I rewatch it, but some of this, I mean, just it's got some great iconic lines. I just love, like in the nightclub,
hey,
where
boy.
They're rocking out, you know, and he goes, shh, shh, there's somebody crying. And yeah, laugh a while you can, monkey boy. And that whole Zen thing, they take it. Remember, wherever you go, there you are.
I love that shit.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. How did we get there? Oh, yeah, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, unwinding the real Mordecai.
Right. Yeah.
Which Marina is going to fob off.
She's a hard pass. Dale's on board, and I'm sort of waffling in between.
No. Too much Pink Panther for me. Also opening on the 23rd, Black Sea, Kevin MacDonald's new film starring Jude Law as the head of submarine crew, I guess.
Who are going to harvest some
Nazi gold.
Nazi gold. From a
submarine. I should say salvage, not harvest.
Salvage.
If this was a pure caper film, I would love it. But the whole betrayal aspect of it, I'm not so sure.
Well, ooh, submarine caper film. It's totally sold.
It's an underwater taunting.
I wish we were
How
doing video.
How can us not end badly? Sold.
Plus Jude Law, man. Sold.
It's an underwater taunting. How could this not go badly?
Exactly, right? Plus they're searching for Nazi gold. You know that shit is like...
I know.
Bad.
It's cursed.
It's cursed, exactly.
It's made
half
out
Russian,
of teeth.
Half American crew or something like that. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? British.
The Russian and British.
Yeah. But it's Nazi gold. It's cursed. Yes. Like, this is the first thing, the first sign that you're going to go bad.
A million Jewish teeth went into this goddamn pile.
I refuse to laugh at that.
I'm not laughing. I'm... Oh, it's boy. Gonna end badly.
Yes, it is gonna end badly. So yes, I'm totally sold. Sold. So Colleen and I are going to the movies that day.
I would probably go with you. I would not go on my own.
Nice. Also opening on the 23rd, The Loft, remade by the director that made the original, starring one of the same cast members from the original. Story of a guy who buys a loft for him and his buddies to use.
When was the original done?
A few years back. I will tell you for sure. Directed by Eric Van Louis, 2008.
Oh, okay. Not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. And it stars Matthias Schoenaerts, actually starred in the first one as well, and he's reprising his role. I don't know if he's the only one that's reprising his role. But it's basically about a guy who buys a loft for him and his buddies to use for their nefarious affairs. And then, you know, they show up one day and somebody's dead. And oh, my God, who knows?
It's a wasted space.
Who did it?
Could be like a roller rink in there.
Totally, you know? Could be like a roller rink.
A bank of speakers pumping out like horrible 80s heavy metal and like disco lights. You and your roller skates and your friends. Oh, yeah.
I did really like the original. I thought it was a great concept, and it's a pretty good like one room thriller because the original pretty much takes place in just the loft. And it looks like this one follows a lot of the same steps.
Was it based on a play by any chance?
I don't know.
A lot of times those... limited settings.
It's just a screenplay and story, so I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, probably not then.
No, but I did like it. I thought it was pretty good, and I really like this cast. Plus, come on, it's Carl Urban, dude.
Yeah, that was...
It's a good cast.
A couple of the cast members.
Yeah, Wentworth Miller, James Marsden, Carl Urban. I think that there's might be one or two other guys there, Matthias Schoenaerts. But yeah, looks pretty solid. I'm game. And it's been postponed, which is not necessarily a good sign, but I do think it looks pretty decent. Moving on to the 30th, Project Almanac.
Did this have another name and was like supposed to come out like last year
or
something?
Yeah, I feel like we've seen it before.
Yeah, I know I've seen this before.
It looked vaguely familiar.
It probably got pushed.
Yeah, it probably got pushed. Okay. So the story here is a bunch of like teenagers find out some instructions on how to build a time machine, and they build the time machine, and then of course shit happens.
Yeah. The picture of him at his childhood birthday, and in the background there he is. I'm like, I have seen this before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I think we may have talked about it before.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Eh. I'm not interested either way, but
it could be okay. It's not something I'd see theatrically ever. have zero interest in kids partying and making time machines.
Time machine I can get behind. Kids?
Pretty much. Pretty much my feelings on that.
I'd go back far enough to basically squash the fish that was starting to walk out of the...
Dude, you know what you should see? What? Predestination.
Predestination.
That movie fucked with my head.
Sweet.
To the point where I saw it twice.
Does in humanity end?
No, it's really weird, though. Okay. It's Ethan Hawke plays a guy who is a time traveler.
Okay.
That's his job. And he's trying to solve a case that's been bothering him for like 50 years. So he keeps going back in time, but they can only travel back in time or forward in time 50 years from the date that time travel was invented, which was 1981. It's really weird. And their time traveling thing is like a ukulele case.
No way.
Yeah. It's super cool. But
I want to find that.
It is a total mind fuck. Right,
you'll have to remind me.
It's really good.
That sounds bizarre. Why did I not know about this movie?
It's amazing. I don't know if it opened theatrically.
Like possibly like Hot Tub Time Machine. Awesome.
Oh,
well. It's better.
No way.
Yeah, no, it's totally better. Shit. Totally. I kind of did a what the fuck did I just watch? I need to watch that again. And I did. I watched it twice. Back to back. No joke. Back to back. It's so good. Highly, highly recommend it. And it only came up, of course, because we're talking about time travel. Should we go on without Colleen?
No, go ahead.
Also putting on the 30th, The Lazarus Effect. About a story about a group of medical students who find a way to bring the dead patients back to life. This kind of sounds kind of like Flatliners, does it not?
It does, yeah.
Sorry, I'm writing
things down. I couldn't find a trailer for it.
No, neither could I, and I have a feeling it may not actually open in January, even though they're saying it does. And I say that because it's I think it's a pretty indie production. It stars Evan Peters, Olivia Wilde, Mark Duplass, and Sarah Bolger, directed by David Gilb, who directed Gyro Dreams of Sushi, the really great sushi doc from a couple of years ago, which I really, really liked. So I'm kind of curious to check this out, but yeah, it sounds ridiculously like Flatliners. Which I actually kind of like too. So, hey, whatever. Works for me.
Didn't do much for me, the trailer.
He found a trailer?
Which one are we talking about?
The Lazarus Effect?
Oh, shit. No, I didn't
find one. The one where they bring patients back to life?
Sorry, well, I was too busy looking for a pen.
I think Flatliners, they actually killed themselves and brought them back to life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's to see how long they can stay under before coming back.
Is that the...
That was the Flatliners
the
one.
The Kevin...
Yeah.
Okay.
With Julia Roberts. What's his face?
So this sounds a little bit different. But
a little different. Yeah, but whatever. Moving on to Max.
Ugh. I tried finding a trailer for this, but you cannot type in Max and trailer and not get Mad Max Fury Road right now. Like, yeah. I went so many pages in, I started trying to do keywords or they all came up. Mad Max Fury Road.
And that is far superior.
Your life is
far richer because of it.
Yes.
Okay, I think it was Slash Film that did a post just after that second Mad Max trailer came out.
Yeah.
Which is like Mad Max trailer even better in GIF format. And it totally fucking is. Like the GIFs from that trailer are spectacular.
Sweet.
That thing better be an IMAX because I want to see that like the biggest fucking screen ever.
Oh.
Well, I want to be drowned
seeing it without you, but yes,
I want to be drowned in Mad Max action, like drowned in it.
I want to be on that Wings Over Canada thing where you're actually lifted off of the ground and you feel like you're flying through. Yeah, that's where
you're
I want to be
flying through the desert.
That's right, fly away.
Should happen.
Fly away, Mad Max. You know,
that the OmniMax.
Someone should suggest that they did Santa's flight on.
Well, I know,
dude. And they totally should.
They did a witch's flight for Halloween. Yeah. They should do Mad Max.
That shit
would sell out like so fast.
I am flying into what's his face's face.
Oh, we're getting awfully excited about something that we're not even talking about. Mad Max. We get so easily sidetracked. Dale is shaking his head.
Mad Max
he just doesn't know what to do with this, Colleen.
Oh man. Do you know how impressionable I was when Road Warrior came out? I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
I
pretty love much. This. Pretty much. Mind blown.
Mel Gibson, you can do no wrong. How little did I know?
Well, that was like 30 years ago. So, you know.
Yeah, true enough.
We didn't know.
Before he came to America.
Yeah, before he got the crazy.
Got the crazy goddamn some anti-Semitic bastard.
Oh boy. Okay, but Max, starring Robbie Amell, who is now like the biggest thing on TV thanks to The Flash, right?
Right.
Right. Also Lauren Graham and Thomas Hayden Church. Story about, okay, so I'll just read this. A family movie about a dog who helped soldiers in Afghanistan that returns to the U.S. and is adopted by his handler's family. Can you just say the, oh,
yeah, again there? Oh. Hallmark, Lifetime, oh, all written all over
pretty
it.
Much, pretty much. I'm not dissing Lifetime anymore because I really like the Red Tent. It was pretty damn good. Just for the record.
I see.
And closing off the month, Coming Home, Zhang Yimou's new film, about a couple separated during the Cultural Revolution, come back together.
Yeah, this has metaphor written
all over.
Yeah, front, back, and...
Did the trailer just sort of like end uber abruptly, like yes, with yeah, no explanation? Okay, because I was like going, this is it's awesome. It's like it got come wait, cut off. Wait, it ended? I'm yeah, like, reload? Like, what yeah, the hell just happened? Yeah.
Dude, I like Zhang Yimou.
For that scene. Yeah.
This kind of like left me going, yep, I'm not going to be doing this one.
I like his films.
I saw it and went, yep, I'm probably seeing this
yeah,
film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a fan of his. I'm a very big fan of his. And that's it for January. Unless sweet, you have something else that, you know, I didn't
see. There was one Red Army.
Oh, yeah, the documentary about the hockey team.
Yeah, which is, they say, is opening the week of the 23rd.
I know Bill really liked it when he saw it at VIFF. I know a few other people that saw VIFF that really liked it.
It looks really interesting.
Yeah, so it's about the Russian Hockey Federation.
Russian Army Hockey Team. Yeah.
That eventually became the Red Wings, which is why Bill is a huge fan of this documentary.
Which, yeah, they were a big deal. I mean, they were, like, when the, like, it's hard not to have been alive at the moment when, like, the Canada-Russia...
That 74, that
I have
game?
Been told, no, 1972. I've been told my life is invalid because I was not born while that happened. I've been told specifically my life is not valid.
I was not very old at the time.
Dan was two.
I remember like things one, going actually, batshit crazy when.
It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. The documentary I thought looked really great. I'm kind of bummed I missed it.
I also remember growing up in, you know, the Olympics, and they would have different staged events with all-stars playing against them. And that was always like, you know, yeah, this is going to be a tough game.
See,
so to actually see some sort of like in hindsight look.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I'm game to see that.
It looks good. I kind of feel the same way about people who weren't alive for Expo 86. It kind of boggles my mind. How is that possible?
Oh, I just found my Expo 86 pass.
Yeah. I have my passport and yeah.
Oh my god, like my hair actually had color.
You mean kind of like your beard?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah. Leland, I heard Leland actually talking about someone that was at the party. He's like, well, don't you remember the Olympics? No, I don't remember the Olympics. I'm like, good God.
He was what, like four?
I know. He was like four or something. See? He's like, don't you remember the Olympics? I'm like, my God, the kid isn't born yet.
Oh, brother. It's wrong.
How dare they be young?
How dare they?
How dare they?
In town. Not too much to report yet. The Van City Theater is still running a lot of their holiday stuff, so they've still got the best of 2014. So The Immigrant is playing, and I think some of those films are kind of playing into the first couple of weeks of January. Their January 5th Music Monday selection is Mamma Mia, which I am totally tempted to go and see. And hope to God there's a sing-along, because that movie is so good. It's so bad, it's good.
And see, a theater that serves alcohol with a movie people are going to sing along to.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be there, too.
If you want to go, I'm totally game. Totally, totally, totally game.
Because I can transit. Wait a minute. No, how late is the show?
They usually start at like 7:30 or something.
Oh, yeah, I can transit.
Oh, well, look, we'll plan. They're also screening Winter Sleep, which I didn't see at VIFF, but which a lot of people have been raving about. This is the new film from Nuri Bilge Ceylan. He did Three Monkeys and Once Upon a Time in Anatolia. So that's playing June the 16th, 26th. And then January 17th and 19th, two nights only, they're showing Showrunners, The Art of Running a TV Show, a documentary about Showrunners.
That's the one I want to see. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then moving on to the Cinematheque, Canada's Top 10 begins January the 10th. That's really the only thing of note happening at the Cinematheque. They're playing a few other films from their archive. But the Canada's Top 10 this year includes Mommy, which I think is only playing twice, and Maps to the Stars, which I didn't really care for, but it is Cronenberg, so it always makes Canada's Top 10. Felix and Mara, which was the big winner at Whistler Film Festival. It won all of the Canadian awards. And Violent, Andrew Kuliak's film, which won all of the Canadian awards at the Vancouver Film Festival. So both of three of those, I highly, highly recommend. Maps of the Stars is an interesting curio. That's about it. Julianne Moore at the opposite end of the spectrum. Being like very crazy. Very, very crazy.
Nice.
She's not screaming vagina, but it's pretty damn close. And that's it. Do we know what's playing out in the...
Again, because I'm out of the loop, I don't know what's playing.
You suck.
No, but... But I do have an update here for the Rio.
Oh, yes.
I believe it's January 9th, but it's the Friday. If it's not actually January 9th, figure it out.
I think it is the 9th,
do
yeah.
Do math. I won't. Anyway, so they have a double feature of two of my favorite horror films of all time. The 9 o'clock show is The Shining, and nice. Followed by The Thing. Hell's... Yes.
Are you going?
I'm pretty sure I'll be at both.
If you're going, I'll come with you.
Sweet.
If you don't mind.
Not a problem.
Awesome.
Because I'll have to drive because the last show will be closed before the SkyTrain ends, which is always annoying.
Done.
Sweet.
That is January.
The Shining and The Thing.
I'm good.
Double header of awesome.
I agree. I haven't seen The Thing in a long time, so.
Oh my God, it's so good. I saw it about this time last year, too.
Brilliant. Oh,
and you'll probably be able to meet Warren from the thickets.
Ooh.
And he will infect you with some sort of virus because that's what he does.
He's staying far away from me.
I was thinking about wearing an actual biohazard suit because they actually give you a cheaper rate if you're in costume. I'm like, God, if I'm sitting anywhere near Warren, any theater, I'm wearing a biohazard suit.
If I have to sit in the front seat, I'm staring nowhere near anybody that's sick. There's no way you're infecting me with your cooties. Go away.
No, it would just meet up in the theater. Kind
of germs. So, stay away from me.
It's so wrong.
Germies.
Yeah. It's like the Goonies, but worse.
Very, very worse.
Which is saying something because the Goonies were horrible.
Oh, dear.
But you know what? Yeah, I can say about the Goonies? So much better than Monster Squad.
I can go with that.
I made the mistake of going to Monster Squad at one of the Hollywood 3 midnight shows.
I feel for you.
Wow.
What was I thinking? Yeah, I knew it was bad. I forgot how bad it was.
I just channel surfed into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Dan made me watch it.
So bad.
It's one of those things that, you know, you remember fondly from when you were a kid, and then you watch it, and you're like, what was I thinking?
I think that's The Goonies, yeah.
Yeah, The Goonies is pretty
terrible.
That's
The Goonies, but, you know, The Monster Squad, I don't even really remember as a kid. It was probably my brain sort of blocked it out to protect myself. Yeah,
to protect you from yourself.
It's like, my God, this is horrible.
And then, of course, you had to make the mistake of watching it to remind yourself of how awesome it was.
As a midnight screening, so I'm exhausted. I can't keep my eyes open, and I'm being subjected to that.
Yeah, and then you can't unwatch that shit.
That's the problem. There are movies I wish I couldn't see. Not many, but there are some. So is that it for January? Or
that's,
we kind of
that's it for my
putting
list.
The kibosh on that one. We will do.
Thank God.
January
always sucks.
There's a couple of good things there.
Yeah, no, there's.
It's better than usual. Sometimes there's like a good one in January. Okay.
I look forward to March.
March.
I don't know why. I just said it.
Well, The Kingsman, I think, is coming out in February. I wish they hadn't pushed it.
Yeah, but. I'm excited for that.
Okay, I'm excited about February then. Because that was one of my highlights. I was totally looking forward
to
that.
I was really looking forward to
it. There's a couple of things, I think, coming out in February that look pretty good.
I need a good spy flick, you know, like gadgety James Bond. Oh, well, yeah, we could talk about the whole Idris Elba James Bond.
50 Shades. Fallout. Kingsman.
50 Shades?
Yeah. Heart of the Sea. Cinderella. Oh, that's March.
Wait, Heart of the Sea?
Yeah. In the Heart of the Sea. That's the Moby Dick one.
Nice.
It looks really cool. It's Chris Woods will
be excited about that.
What's his name? Well, it stars Thor. Ron Howard.
For directing. A second, I thought it was Old Man in the Sea. I'm like, going, I don't know.
It looks, the trailer looks pretty
badass. A 2-hour film about basically catching a big fish.
Chappie looks pretty badass. No Chappie for you guys.
Meh.
No? Meh.
I don't even, that one's not on my radar.
Really?
Is that a Chaplin?
No, Neil Blomkamp. His new film.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, maybe I have heard about this.
You should watch the trailer. It's pretty funny.
I think maybe I will.
I won't watch trailers until this time next month.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes it's nice to go in a little bit cold.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
No, because if I watch them early, then I'll forget what they are, and then I'll think to skip them before the show, and then I'll go, wait, that's not what I'm talking.
Wait,
what?
So you're not going to go see Zombievers in March?
Zombievers.
I'm serious. Apparently, it's coming out. Look. Zombievers.
Part of me says yes.
And all of me says no fucking way in hell am I watching Zombievers. Ever.
I think that's just like porn engine bait.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're just going to do a schlocky movie, but it'll come up in the search engines for a certain crowd.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, Paul. I like looking at the year coming up. Look. Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2.
Wow.
Oh, brother. Okay, we will stop while we're ahead. Mad Max. When is May? How many months away are we from May?
It's too many months. I want it now.
So this will actually probably go before January 2015.
Get out.
I know, right? We recorded early enough that it counts as our first episode of the 2015, but it's going up in 2014.
Wow.
So, Happy New Year. Be safe out there on the party.
Happy New Year.
If there is a Planet of the Apes marathon, we will be watching it. Because there probably will be somewhere
on some channel. I usually do Godzilla. Actually, now that I'm thinking about blowing off all my New Year's sort of plans, I might actually just do another Godzilla, like 8 to 15-hour marathon.
Yeah, the last time I was spent New Year's at home, we watched the Planet of the Apes marathon.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think it was on TMC or something.
That's good watching.
It was pretty awesome, considering I hadn't seen like 3 of them. So, you know, I got caught up.
How is that possible?
Not a fan. Hey! That's how it's possible.
That's practically mother's milk to me. Could explain a few things.
Huh? We'll stop while we're ahead.
All right. Yeah.
But yes, we will be back in a couple of weeks with a, we'll come up with a best and worst probably at the end of January. Give us time to catch up. The Road 3 best and worst, I think, is going up on the second week of January. So stay tuned for that. And if you're looking for movie watching, Quiet Earth, we put up our 22 must-sees of 2014. Some good titles in there and a lot of stuff that's already streaming.
Great titles, some things I disagreed with, but that's the nature of those lists.
Pretty much.
Duke of Burgundy was on the list of anyone?
No. Because we have taste.
Thank God.
No, and it was they were genre. So I don't think there was Kirk. Any like NH2. Drama or period.
No, it was pretty much straight up genre fare for the most part. Or I think there may have been a couple of like foreign films, but generally
this
speaking,
was the Quiet Earth.
Yeah,
22.
Not the Kurt.
Yeah, not the
Row 3. Yeah.
Wait, so did Kurt already put up his top 10 of the year?
I don't know. I haven't checked, but like he was commenting on Facebook kind of thing about how awesome that film was and how it's one of the best films ever made and just going on. And I'm like going,
did we watch the same movie?
Was there two films called Duke of Burgundy come out this year?
The thing is, people like, a lot of people really liked Barbarian Sound Studio as well. And I just don't get it. I don't.
This was one step away from being full-on Bellatar boring. Like, holy crap.
Like, I thought at least the S&M sex stuff would be interesting.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. The whole thing was just like...
I
think I may have dozed off at some point.
I just don't get it. No. I never will.
No, neither do I.
You're wrong, Kurt. Wrong.
This is new to you?
Kurt is wrong a lot.
We just love him and don't say it out loud.
I'd be interested to see what Matt Gamble says about Duke Burgundy.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, because there's still a lot of movies to watch. So we will have a sort of wrap, a 2014 year-end wrap, but it'll be closer to the end of January. So look for that then. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a February preview. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
First things first, I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
Huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight, never chase that.
Never.
Stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
So fancy.
You knew that I'd be the IGGY. Put my name in bold. I've been working, I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo.
Touch that. Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? It's so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing. Slaying these hoes, go trigger on a gun. Like,
I'm so fancy.